I'm going to read a little something. This is from Japa Meditation Techniques, Shelter and Surrender. In Arundhaya Kirtan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the nectar-filled names of Krishna are the sole shelter within the universe. Krishna Nam Shuddha Karaya Pan Jurayal Bhakata Vinoda Pran Nama Bina Kichunahi Ko Aro Chauda Bhuvana Maji. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhakti Vinod. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within the 14 worlds. One must be thoroughly convinced that there is absolutely no other shelter or source of protection in this trouble-filled world beside Lord Sri Krishna, who is fully present in his holy name. With this conviction and realization, one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Taking full shelter means to express the mood, O Krishna, I am yours, I am taking shelter of you. He Radhe, He Krishna, Tavaisamsmi, in the mind and out loud. From Jivadharma, chapter 20. To have faith in the holy name, one must firmly establish the six symptoms of self-surrender, sharanagati, within his heart. Jivadharma gives a clear description of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa patikulyasya vajanam vakshishyati ti vishvaso guptritve varanam tata atma nikshepa kalpanye sadvira saranagati. First two symptoms of surrender are anukulyasya sankalpa and patikulyasya vajanam. One should take a solemn vow, sankalpa, that I will only do that which is favorable for unalloyed bhakti, and I will reject all unfavorable acts. Third symptom is faith in Krishna as one's protector, rakshishyatiti. Krishna is my only protector. I can derive nothing from jnana, yoga, and other such practices. This expresses one's trust, vishvaso, in Krishna. The fourth symptom is the deliberate acceptance of Krishna as one's maintainer, guptritvayavaranam. I cannot do anything or even maintain myself by my own endeavor. I will serve Krishna as best I can, and he will surely take care of me. The fifth symptom of surrender, Atma Nikshepa. Who am I? I am his. My only duty is to fulfill Krishna's desire. This is submission of the self, Atma Nivedana. The sixth symptom is humility, Karpanye. I am wretched, insignificant, and mentally destitute. This is all from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jivadharma, chapter 6. Since there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name, one can think of the six symptoms of surrender in relation to the Maha Mantra. Thus, while chanting Hare Krishna, Mantra Japa, one can take a solemn vow, quote, I will only accept those people, places, actions, thoughts, desires, and feelings that are conducive to chanting Shuddha Nam, and I will reject everything opposed to it. I have complete faith, which means full love and trust, that the name of Krishna is my only protector. Alone I am powerless, but Krishna's name is maintaining me and taking care of all my needs. All I have to do is chant, chant, chant. I am his, everything for now. My only duty is to serve Krishna's name by chanting with pure love. O most sweet and beautiful Sri Nam Prabhu, I am wretched, worthless, crazy, and insignificant. I am lower than a straw in the street. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Please pick me up and keep me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So, this is a little japa meditation.
Where is that from?
Jivadharma.
From Jivadharma?
Yeah. Some of it's Jivadharma and a couple of paragraphs are Mahanidhi Swami. Chapter 6, yeah. So, would anybody like to ask any questions about anything we've discussed so far?
Hare encouraging impressions from Shanti. And I was trying to understand that how we're chanting, how to be the personal connection with the meditation master for Shanti.
Prabhupada once said that the most important instruction of the spiritual master is to chant Hare Krishna. And our understanding is when the spiritual master gives us the holy name, he is giving us the means for achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. As is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mantra Diksha Hoite, what is it? Mantra Diksha Hoite, something Bhuvan Mochan, Krishna Nama Hoite, something.
Yeah. Samsara Mochana.
Samsara Mochana.
Krishna Nama
Hoite Pabe. Pabe Krishna Rachanama. Yes. The holy name will bring one to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, this verse helps us to understand that the spiritual master who bestows the holy name is giving us the means by giving us the pure holy name, and we have to have faith that in that name everything can be revealed. But in the instructions to Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya has given the example of the Bhakti Lata Bij, that the Bhakti Lata Bij is the seed which has been planted in the heart and requires watering. So in the same way, the holy name, although can bestow all perfection and bring one to the lotus feet of Krishna, in order to have the proper conception of the holy name, one has to continue to water. But to water the holy name. The watering is the process of hearing from the Vaishnavas. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I oftentimes quote, that one must learn the truth and beauty of the Lord's holy name by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of Vaishnavas. There's no other way to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. So once the holy name is given, then we have to continue to water the holy name. And the watering is the hearing the glories of the holy name from the mouths of Vaishnavas. Therefore, we are dependent upon the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas to bring us to the point of full fructification of what the holy name can deliver. Because we have to continue the watering process by hearing the glories of the name. If we don't hear the glories of the name from the mouths of the Vaishnavas, then we begin to minimize the holy name. We take it for granted, and although we would like to obtain the desired result by chanting, if we're neglectful in our chanting, if we're not very mindful in our chanting, if we're not struggling to overcome the anartas, and we stay in the platform of namaparad, then bahu jama kariyari sarvanakirtana tabutai krishna paripemadana, one can go on chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for millions of births, but they'll never get love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of chanting. So we have to be able to have the proper conception of the holy name by hearing the glories of the holy name from the mouths of Vaishnavas. Therefore, we're dependent upon our spiritual master to continue the watering process and to help us gain the proper conception of the holy name so that we do not become too familiar with the holy name, and that we always have faith by hearing the glories of the holy name. This way, we're always fully dependent on the spiritual master.
What do you mean by becoming too familiar with the holy name?
Not being attentive. Yeah, to be inattentive in the ways we described, and many other ways which we didn't have time to describe about the types of inattentiveness. I can give you like just an example, which is inattentive chanting. Inattention while chanting is also considered an offense. The fact that Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that distraction, inattention, or attraction to other things while chanting japa is the root cause of all offenses. Distraction in chanting produces a type of illusion. This is from Harinam Chintamani. Distraction and chanting produces a type of illusion causing serious offenses against the holy name that are difficult to overcome. This illusion leads to craving for wealth, women, position, success, and cheating. When these material attractions cover the heart, one loses interest in chanting the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada states in one lecture, if you become inattentive, that is offense. You should know this. Try to avoid. Krishna is giving us chance to meet him in so many ways. Nam, Rupa, Lila, Paduka, Vasishta. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes three types of inattention under the category of pramada, which means complete madness. In other words, it is definitely a symptom of insanity if one begs Krishna to come by calling out his names and then simultaneously ignores him and pays no attention to him. The three types of inattention are apathy, laziness, and distraction. That's what I mean, becoming too familiar. Inattention. And it's described here as the root cause of all offenses. So one actually has to know these things. Or another type of anatta is called tattva vibhrama. Tattva vibhrama means to be bewildered about the conclusions of tattva. And according to the statements of Shastra, that one of the types of anarthas is to not be aware of what are the obstacles on the path of advancing on the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We should not keep ourselves in illusion and thinking and not being aware of what are the obstacles that we have to overcome. By knowing the different dangers, then we can avoid. But if we stay in ignorance, it's like oftentimes the example is given, that sometimes devotees, when they first begin chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna overlooks the offenses because they don't know. They don't know better. And therefore they taste some wonderful bliss. But then after some time, if they're not careful, they become a little familiar. Right? And they don't take advantage of the knowledge that becomes available to them to learn more about the pitfalls. And therefore, after some time, Krishna doesn't overlook the offenses so easily and one loses his taste. And when one loses his taste, it's very difficult to chant. So this familiarity means also not always endeavoring to have the proper conception of the holy name of the Lord and to minimize the importance of chanting Hare Krishna. And of course the different types of namaparads, the 10 offenses to the holy name of the Lord. It's very interesting, I wanted to actually read it, because I oftentimes give this analogy, it's not an analogy, it's an example that shows us the importance that even if one loses his taste for chanting, how the holy name of the Lord can still bring one back to obtain a taste for chanting. And excuse me just one second, I have to find it. So example is given. I'm going to read just a little. It talks about a person who commits an offense and loses the mercy of the holy name. The case of the offender losing the mercy of the name is similar to a subordinate who is offensive to his vastly wealthy and capable master. The master treats him indifferently and denies him proper care. As a result, that servant comes to suffer poverty and distresses of all sorts. One should know that every master, karma, gyan, yog, neglects an offensive servant. If the offending servant again puts himself at the beck and call of his master, the master gradually shows mercy, and that person's suffering is eliminated step by step. In the same way, the offending devotee at first suffers some miseries. As he again does sincere service to the devotees, Shastra, and Guru, the name gradually manifests mercy and eliminates his evil tendencies. Thus, one cannot argue against the gradual elimination of anartha. Someone may argue that he's never made any aparads, so why he's not getting the full mercy of the name? He shouldn't make such statements. Maybe he didn't. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaking, by the way. Maybe he didn't make the aparads recently. He may have done them in the past, But one can infer the existence of aparads by their effect. The effect is that a person will not manifest any symptoms of prema while doing nam-kirtan, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tad asma saram hridayam batedam yad griyamana harinama deyai na vikriye tata yada vikaro netre jalam gatra urheshu harsha. One's heart is certainly steel-framed if when chanting the holy name there is no change in the heart, tears in the eyes, or standing of hairs on the body. So in other words, this is the symptom. Someone may say, I've never made any aparads. The effect is that a person will not manifest any symptoms while doing nam kirtan, as described in the Bhagavatam. Seeing the following verse in Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu on the subject of aparad, another doubt arises. Ke te parada vipendra namna bhagavata krita vinignanti nyanam kritam prakritam hyanayantihi. O foremost of Brahmins, what are the offenses against the name of the Lord that can cancel the results of all one's pious works and lead to a material conception even of spiritual topics? In other words, repeatedly hearing and chanting the Lord's name, qualities, and so on should give prema. Serving the sacred tirtha should bestow perfection. And repeatedly tasting the ghee, milk, betel, and other kinds of the Lord's prasadam should destroy all desires for sense enjoyment. So what are the grave offenses that cancel these fruits and cause all these spiritually potent activities to appear material? This very startling and unnerving question is being raised. If this is so, does it follow that a person who commits namaparad becomes averse to the Lord and thus cannot even take shelter of guru or perform other devotional service? This is true. As during a high fever, losing all taste for food, a person finds it impossible to eat. So a person who makes serious aparads loses scope for hearing, chanting, and other devotional service. There is no doubt about this. However, if the fever lessens with time, some taste for food develops. Even then, nourishing foods like milk and rice cannot give their full nourishment to the person suffering from chronic fever. They bestow some benefit, but cannot relieve him of his wasted condition. Nevertheless, medicine and an invalid's diet can, with time, restore his former health. Then the full potency of normal food can again be utilized by the body. In the same way, after a long period of suffering, the effects of aparad, the intensity reduces slightly, and the devotee develops a little taste. Again, the devotee becomes fit for bhakti. Repeated doses of hearing and chanting the Lord's name and other such processes then gradually reveal everything in progression. So here, the point that is being raised is that sometimes devotees previously may have chanted and experienced such a wonderful taste, but then due to offenses they may have lost that taste. It may be very difficult, very hard, struggle, and even to the point where one can't even get themselves to chant. And that is the result, is being said, of some offenses, some aparad is being committed, and therefore the devotee loses his attraction. Just as a person who has a high fever loses his attraction for eating. He's suffering from a high fever and he can't eat. Right? But what happens is that in due course of time, when the fever comes down a little bit, then although the person cannot eat, he can't eat. He still has the fever. He can't eat opulent food. It's not that he can think, oh, the fever has come down a little bit, now let me have pizza and sweet rice. let me eat a feast. But he'll just get sick again because the disease isn't fully gone. But he has an attraction for eating now. So what should he eat? He should eat an invalid's diet and medicine. And that will gradually restore him to health again, because now at least he can eat. In the same way, when a person suffers from namaparad and he can't chant, after some time of suffering, he begins to realize that, well, what can I take that gives me some nourishment? I need nourishment. Right? If I go out and just eat the whole feast, I'm going to get sick again, especially because I still have some fever. So I have to take that which can give me some nourishment, and enough of it, and take the proper medicine, and gradually become restored to health again. And then after becoming restored to health, by taking association with Vaishnavas, who are preaching the glories of the holy name of the Lord, by chanting the holy name of the Lord with faith, by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, and by honoring the Lord's prasadam, mahaprasadam, by taking darshan of the deity of the Lord, by engaging in any of these potent activities which can actually restore a person back to healthy condition, then he can once again get his hunger back and relish the taste of the holy name of the Lord again. So that is, as we said, that is the all-merciful nature of the holy name of the Lord, that we should never feel hopeless. We should never feel that it's not possible for me to ever obtain the mercy of the Lord, that the holy name is so merciful and so forgiving that it gives one access to come back again, even, but it will be after some time of possible suffering. And usually that's what happens. If we don't have association of devotees, if we can't have no taste for chanting Hare Krishna, then we try to enjoy, as we explained before, we quoted that verse in the Bhagavatam, even though a devotee may fall down, he can't become a fruitive worker again, because anyone who's gotten a higher taste of Krishna's lotus feet will not be able to forget. And although he may try again and again and again, you know, I use this as an example. It might not be the best example, but some devotees may know of a person that used to come to this temple for many years. And he might have been here, I don't know, but I haven't seen him for a few years. But he had been coming to this temple since, I think, 1973, since 1974, since he was 16 years old. He used to come and he would serve very sincerely, but then he would disappear and we wouldn't see him. And this would continue in regular sequences. He would come, serve very sincerely, and then all of a sudden, one day he'd be totally gone. And we just didn't see him again. And then at one point, I think it was sometime in maybe 75, 76, we started getting these phone calls. And they were really heavy, critical phone calls. We'd pick up the phone and someone would just start screaming at the top of their lungs. And blasphemy, Krishna, blaspheming the leaders of the temple. And the Lord would just put the phone down, and it would come regularly and regularly. And then one day somebody recognized the voice and put it together with this person that had been coming to the temple regularly. And he kind of spoke to him about it. And he confessed that was me. He said, because every time I leave the temple and go back and try to enjoy, Krishna doesn't let me enjoy. He said, I suffer so much. I try so hard to enjoy, but I can't get any real pleasure because I know that the only pleasure and enjoyment. So I figured I want Krishna to forget me and let me go, but he won't forget me. So, but maybe if I blaspheme his devotees, he'll forget me and let me go. So he would call up and he would just blaspheme. And he said that's the reason why he was doing it, to somehow get Krishna to forget him and leave him alone, because he can't enjoy it anymore. So then therefore Rupa Goswami gives that verse, you know, if anybody's interested in enjoying and, you know, friends, family, society, then don't go see the beautiful form of Govinda standing on the bank of the Yamuna, because you'll not be able to enjoy it again. So the point is that anyone who gets that higher taste, upon once getting that taste, you can try, but at some point you're going to realize that all this lower taste is actually the source of great suffering. And Krishna is going to bring you back again to his lotus feet. He's going to drag you back, and you're going to realize, I need to chant. I need to take some a sick man's diet and some medicine and get myself healthy again and associate with devotees and chant with faith, and then There's no prayashchitta required. One's immediately reinstated in devotional service. Such is the power of devotional service. Yeah. So, anyways, this is evidence that of the holy name, that we should be very careful to not unnecessarily, you know, one may run the risk of falling down or having to suffer, but why should one unnecessarily suffer if one can avoid it? Anyway, I don't know what made me think of that, but you asked some question that was somehow.
What effort was
that? He started coming back to the temple again. I used to see him from time to time, but now I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while. I don't want to mention his name, but if anyone knows who he is, then that's who he is. But
one doesn't have a taste for chanting. What's the reason to chant?
What is the inspiration?
Yeah.
We said that we have to associate with those who do have some taste. Chant with them. We have to always look for opportunities to be in the association of devotees who have some attraction for chanting and chant with them. And then we can imbibe their faith and their attraction. And that's necessary. And then one has to be very careful to avoid offenses, which is the cause of losing one's taste, one's attraction. Mm. To the degree that one cultivates a tense taste for sense enjoyment, what is it? Actually, it's right here. There's a verse, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes. I hope I can find it. I forgot it, but how can one get what? If one's going west, how can you get something that's in the east? Anyway, it's the essence of the verse. It's a quote from. I'll find it though. I think I know where it is. Yes. Vishaya Vishta Chitanam Vishnavesha Sudurvata Varuni Dig Gatam Vastu Rajanandrim Kim Apnuyat. One whose heart is absorbed in materialism is far from obtaining devotion to Vishnu. Can a man by going east obtain something that is in the west? Right. So the point is Prabhupada used to give the example, how can you ignite a fire by pouring water on it at the same time? So in the same way, how can one get a taste for chanting if one is pursuing the flickering tastes of the material world? Right? It's like trying to ignite a fire and pour water at the same time. You can't get the taste. So one has to be very, very careful to avoid those types of activities which cause us to lose our attraction and lose our taste for the holy name of the Lord. And therefore one of the offenses of the holy name of the Lord is to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. Lose the taste. But we already gave the example of how the all-merciful holy name of the Lord still will forgive after some period of suffering. So, I would like to, since there's not so many questions, take one more japa period and have a short kirtan before Artik, and so we can chant Hare Krishna together. And maybe we'll have a look. We'll chant one more round, and then we'll have kirtan till 7 o'clock, and then it'll be Artik. And we'll end here. And I thank you, all of you, for your kind attention. Shri Krishna. No, we can just chant one round of japa, and then at 7:10, we'll have kirtan until artik time, and then we'll have stand-up kirtan for artik. Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Stand up anyway.
Huh?
Stand up anyway.
Stand up anyway. Stand up for Shadam. Stand up. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Saraswati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Hare. Oh, by the way, just in case anybody's interested, just one last thing. If this worked, this was recorded.
I think this is so important because there is some devotees who can't really come to the temple. I know personally one person who is actually a disciple, and she cannot be here because her life is so tough right now. And I'm sure she will be more than happy to have a copy of it.
Well, if it, as I said, if it works, I didn't want anybody to, you know, to. Huh? Well, I asked all of you not to record, but I didn't ask myself.
So.
All right, so till 10 minutes to 7, we're chanting japa and then kirtan. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Hare